samurai reincarnation. An epic and bloody tale of violent revenge. Samurai reincarnation.
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over.
Of hell, welcome to the hellish episode of the Asian Action Cast. My name's Sam, and tonight we've got Mikey.
Hello.
And Nathan.
Hello.
Hey, fellas, how are you all feeling?
Pretty good.
Yeah, getting there.
Getting there? What a lovely evening. Sit back, relax, watch an Asian action film.
Lots of dry ice around.
Yeah, bit of a spooky vibe. We last minute choice, wasn't it? Finding a film for us to watch.
Yeah, so we're hosting it, Casa de Nathan, I guess.
Casa de Nathan. I do appreciate that you got all of the trailers of the films that you purchased so that we could see them very quickly.
Not all of them, but yes, that's what I did. I spent some time before you came over. I got like 6 or 7 movies out thinking maybe one of them would be good. And then I was like, I haven't seen any of these movies, really. So...
you got talking to the microphone.
I'm eating the microphone as hard as I can. You want me to touch it with my mouth?
No. I mean, when you turn your face to talk to me, mm-hmm. you just keep the microphone in front of it.
All right. That's all right. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. There you go. See?
So,
can we say trailer a little bit misleading, though?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, the trailer always only shows the best parts, right? Hey, look, did you notice there's those shining lights? It's like a UFO in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trailer is always a bit misleading. What was the name of this film, Nathan?
Samurai Reincarnation.
Samurai Reincarnation, a 1981 Sonny Chiba flick, isn't it?
Yes.
But it does have some really big names in it, Sonny Chiba. But before I get into that, let's do the pitch, much like your trailers. If you were going to try and sell this film to us, now that we've seen it, or sell it to somebody who may not have seen a samurai film, or even an Asian action martial arts film, how would you sell it?
How would I sell this movie?
Yeah.
By the power of Christ, I compel you to buy my movie. with all the evils and powers of Christ, I command you to be evil and come back to live alive.
That's pretty much this film.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. That was big at the time though, right? With The Exorcist and...
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
All those kind of Christian... Anti-Christian films, I guess? Anti-Christ films? Do you have a pitch, Mikey?
Floating head kills them all.
That could describe many films. Samurai Exorcist, I guess, having just said the Exorcist, which is really kind of what this is. But, I mean...
He exercises him in only a way a samurai sword can.
Yeah. I know. The reason I kind of hesitated there was because is he a samurai? Is anyone in this film actually...
They're all samurais.
Are they?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lord. Jubei.
Yeah, he does.
Does he?
Dad.
He works for the shogun. His dad literally works for the right under the shogun.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So he worked, you know, his clan works under the... They're all samurai. Everybody in this movie, pretty much, except for the peasants, samurai.
Samurai. Oh, okay. So I guess samurai resurrection is appropriate then.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. My mistake. I saw the eye patch and I was like, yeah, what, do you have an eye patch?
Yeah. Even I think serial killer monk is still a samurai, I think, technically. I don't think you technically give up, like, your status.
Serial killer monk. Yeah, all right. Okay. I just figured all the samurai would use a sword. You know, that was the mark of a samurai.
They all had them. They used everything, man. They shoot you with a gun.
It's more of a class status.
Yeah.
It's a samurai gun.
Yeah, it's more like... They're more like knights, I guess. It's a social class.
It's a title and not necessarily tied to a sword. But yeah, see, I'll throw some trivia at you. Not that much, because I don't think this film was
That's
huge.
A lot of dead bodies. I do appreciate that.
This film is very evocative, very atmospheric. Like I said, it's a 1981 film. It's got Sonny Chiba in it. What's his name? Hiroyuki Sanada. Duke Sanada, who you may watch in the upcoming Mortal Kombat 2 as Scorpion. He's been acting for a fucking long time. What's that? 1981, so more than 40 years.
Okay, so he... has been an action star for 40 years.
Yeah, that's right.
He's been an actual action star doing actual action. Because that fight in Mortal Kombat's pretty good. And that came out after 2020.
And he's doing that.
Yeah. So...
He's fighting against people way younger than him, like Joe Taslim and shit. So respect.
Yeah.
Respect to him. And he really didn't break out in the Western market until probably The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. So Hiroyuki Sanada, Sonny Chiba, Kenji Sawada, who plays the antagonist, I guess, Shiro Amakusa.
Wait a minute. Is he in the new... Just going back to Sanada, is he in the new John Wick movie?
I think he is. No, I think he is, actually. Okay. Along with every other notable action, like Asian action martial artist. Right, Donnie Yen's in it. Surprise, surprise, he's blind.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. He's always blind.
He should have bought Donnie eyes earlier.
But yes. This was a Japanese Toei film. So a samurai film. Part of the Sonny Chiba collection, didn't you say, Nathan?
Yeah, so there's a collection of movies. I don't know how old it is. It's from Shout Factory. This is the first time I've been up. Like, the reason I bought it is because I really like Shogun Shadow, and I haven't been able to find a Blu-ray copy with subtitles that looks any good, and this is the first time I've been able to find that. So I bought that. And along with it comes this, which I already own a copy of. I think I might actually own two copies of it, but they are on DVD, and they look god-awful. This is really easy to watch. Like, it's real pretty.
It's beautiful. The transfer
is dark.
It has been remastered, though, right?
That whole thing that's what Shout and Eureka do, isn't it? They remaster old things into 4K and then re-release on Blu-ray.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what they've done. It may not be all the way up to 4K. I haven't seen a 4K release of this film yet, but I'm hoping that maybe at some point they will. I think it might deserve it.
I would struggle to tell the difference between Blu-ray and 4K, I think. Unless,
well, most of the ones that they do when they remaster it, they put it into a higher resolution, then they just drop it down for Blu-ray or the 4K
DVD. But I have a real old, it must have not been remastered at the time, I have a real old couple of DVDs of this, and I've watched it, and I've saw so much more in this movie than I haven't seen before. Like this shit, like it, when he's just in this pile of corpses, like...
Yes.
So the movie starts out with like... them telling you that they've just killed 37,000 Christians who have been rebelling against the Shogun. The Shogun's just put them down and beheaded them all. One of them's come back. The leader has come back to life, and he's been beheaded, and his head flies away and attaches to like some like kabuki actor thing. And then he's come back, and now he's got magic powers, and he's gonna fucking kill everybody with the power of the devil.
He's decided that God shamed him, so he'll turn to the devil. And the devil powers.
Yep.
Well, I mean, shame on you, right? If you're going to kill a whole bunch of people, have a village of bodies, and then have a party to celebrate in the same village, bad shit's probably going to happen to you.
Literally behind a curtain.
Yeah. Bad shit's going to happen to you.
That's just how the Japanese rolled back then.
It was their time.
One thing we will say for this entire movie, the set design and set pieces are excellent throughout
movie. It looks stunning, actually. Like...
The backdrops, the
they took
costumes,
the, time
the special
to make
effects.
A giant pile of corpses, and I appreciated that at the beginning.
It looked very good, and the lighting and everything around it was very evocative. It was a very big set. No surprises, but they actually won the Japanese Academy Award for art direction.
Art direction, yeah.
Yeah. Art direction, they didn't win for music.
The music's not that great, I'm going to be honest.
It's in and out. It's in and out. It's not offensive.
It has some moments.
Yeah. Hiroyuki Sanada, he won Best Newcomer.
This can't be his first movie.
Well, I don't know if it's his first film, but certainly newcomer, like a new star, maybe. Yeah. Right. Sorry, I didn't mention it was directed by Kinji Fukasaku, who I had a look to see what he directed, and I saw that he directed Battle Royale, but not the original Battle Royale. The 2000 version of Battle Royale, because they redid it.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know what else he's done, but yeah. But this is going on from that rebellion you were talking about. That was the Shimabara Rebellion, which I assume is a real historical.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And he was the Christian rebellion leader.
I believe this character, Michael, you might be able to tell me, this character also features in Rurouni Kenshin.
That's correct.
Oh, the actual Shiro Amakusa?
Yeah.
He's a real character?
He looks kind of... He's got the same, like, weird... Maybe they always do him this way, or maybe there's a picture of him at some point, but he's always wearing that high collar.
Yes.
Yeah, it's... Well, I mean, it makes him look really evil, right? It makes him
kind
look...
kind of one of those things, so in lots of Japanese... It's... I suppose if you think about it, each culture has their own sort of fairy tales as such, and or stories from, you know, the past, and they like to grab different characters out of things and mesh them into their own stories. And this is kind of a bit of a mismatch, because Jupe Yagyu, who's Sonny Chiba's character, he's quite a famous folklore hero in Japan as well, not specifically anything related to the this Christian uprising, etc., but he's from quite a...
They put him into this?
Well, yeah, they've just... This is actually based on a manga.
Mm.
This is one Topekana, I suppose, of the manga story. That's why I'll forewarn you, it sort of ends but doesn't end.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, lots more to the story.
So you're saying that Jubei, it doesn't actually belong in this region, this period, these events.
Well, if he existed anyway, because it's kind of like one of the folk hero kind of things. Like,
yeah.
Was he real or was he not? Because it was so long before. Because he was the original story, I think, goes back to when one of the Korean Wars, where the Koreans tried to invade Japan, which was, you know, probably 400 or 500 years before this.
I mean, that's cool. You chuck in a folk hero and...
Well, this movie is full of them. Like, I think the lady is... Like, she's famous for something.
Hosokawa.
Like he essentially goes and gets a literal murderer's row of, like, people to bring back from the dead.
It's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. They're just going back, picking people from history.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this person would be pretty cool if they came back to kill. Like, he goes and gets Musashi just before Musashi dies, who's a famous swordsman. He gets another monk. I don't know if he wants the monk. I don't know why, if he chooses the monk or if he just comes across
the
monk.
Is that the rapist monk?
Yes, the serial killer.
Yeah, Inshin is the monk.
Hozai?
Hozoan.
Okay.
Inshin. Miyamoto Musashi, who's the swordman. Isn't that also the name of the guy from... What's that game on the Dreamcast? Soul Blade. Soul Calibur.
It was probably Musashi.
Musashi?
That, yeah, because he's the guy who wrote, who actually, in the reality, he wrote the Book of the Five Rings.
Yeah, okay.
Like, he has a sword style, a two-handed sword style. He's very famous.
He's very famous. Well, I mean, like, so you've got all these famous people from history. Jubei's dad, he's not a famous...
No, but the line of the Yagyu is
famous.
Is famous. They're like a real thing.
Yeah, yeah. They were like the peacekeepers, right?
No, I think they were the top sword school.
Yeah, okay.
They were considered the best swordsmen, and they taught the Shogun's kids.
So that's kind of the backdrop, and at the moment, the Tokugawa are the regime that's actually in charge, right? They're the ones.
Damn
that,
right they are.
Yeah.
That's why they put down those horrible, horrible Christians, because it was like, you know what I like? I like guns, but you know what I don't like? All these missionaries trying to take away my power. There's no more power. I'm God here, motherfucker.
I'm God, yeah, exactly.
Do you know what regimes hate? Other regimes. Fuck your regime. I set mine up first.
The whole movie kind of, it sort of starts off introducing the five different sort of... Main bad guys. And it kind of does each little story in kind of a mini
flashbacks. This movie takes a while to get going. Yeah. If you weren't... It is very pretty and it is watchable, but it is not an action movie. Like, there is some action sequences in it, and I feel like
towards the end.
Yeah, and I feel a bit bad that we watched it for the Asian action cast, but you know what? It worked well enough. I liked it.
You know what? I think it's visually interesting enough. I mean, I don't need to watch an Asian action film to see martial arts every second of the movie, right? If it's visually interesting and they carry your interest, like... There's a lot of shit happening, a lot of supernatural stuff that's not necessarily martial arts.
Yeah, there's a lot of special effects.
Yeah, like incredible. And some of the special effects, like even later on when we get to the fireworks factory, as to how they actually did it, I don't know. But just leading up to it, it's over dramatic, just like you'd expect of any anime or any manga. It's just lots of visual set pieces. And the framing, I mean, geez, man, Japanese cinema. I just don't know how they were doing it. It was incredible light. Incredible lighting, incredible camera framing. It just all looks incredible. Except,
do you wonder if they've touched it up?
If they've cleaned it?
Well, you know, because obviously the version we're watching is a remastered version. I wonder if they cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't think they've gone have done that much to this film.
Yeah.
I think they will have cleaned it up. They've probably gone in there and taken out, like, there's no pops or cracks or anything.
Yeah.
And I think they would have done all of that
some
stuff.
Some of the lighting.
But I don't think they would have gone in there with a digital pass and, like,
manually actually clean
Yeah,
that?
I don't think because it's the second movie on a disc and it's in a 4-disc set. It's not even the movie they've given that much like
It's the bonus movie.
Yeah, it's like a bonus movie.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, you know, like how much or how easy it would have been for them to you know, just well, I have to clean the lighting up a little bit. I can just, you know, take away some of the...
Put it through Level Later.
Yeah. I bet they might have put it through Level Later. Like the
visual.
The professional visual...
cleaned up some of the Vaseline that they smeared on this.
Yeah.
To block out some of the stuff they were doing.
Well, some of the actual shots of... Because they're wearing really intricate robes with incredible attention to detail. Unfortunately, a lot of the film is in the night, is in the dark. But the scenes that are well lit,
all of it actually.
Yeah, the scenes that are well lit are very good.
Three daytime scenes.
Yeah, but I gotta say, when they do light it up at night, it's well done. Like it looks.
You can follow what's going on. Again, in the DVD, you couldn't follow shit. It was just too dark. Like
yeah.
This was unwatchable. It was unwatchable.
And it works really well. If it doesn't work, it stands out a lot, and it works really well when you don't notice it. But the art direction, all the costumes and the sets all kind of gel. At no point do you kind of go, that guy looks ridiculous compared to samurai outfit.
And their outfits are ridiculous. Let's not beat around the bush. That shit looks ridiculous. I don't know if a samurai ever dressed like that, man.
He looks like a jester or something. I don't know what he's dressed like.
Well, it's very, you know, anime or manga-esque.
Yeah. Everybody's got a different costumes. Silhouette.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you could tell what they are or who they are simply by their outline and not necessarily by their face. But they're all... you know what? Actually, I should probably make a note. All the people in this film are very attractive. They're all very pretty. All the women are incredibly pretty. What's his name?
Sonny Chiba.
I kept thinking of eyebrows. I was like, what's the eyebrow guy's name? Sonny Chiba. He's incredibly attractive. All the main actors... what's his name? Kenji Sawada. Obviously very, he's a chiseled face. He's just very, I don't know, charismatic for a bad guy. That's kind of his look. As all anime bad guys are, they're kind of charismatic. I do love that one of the guys, Musashi, lives in a volcano. I don't even know why. Did he just go there to hide? He lives under a volcano?
The best hiding spot.
Yeah.
His evil lair.
Yeah. Well, he's not. The thing is, he's not supposed to be evil. Like, but he is evil in this movie because he's very evil.
Well, he's been reincarnated to be evil. So.
Yeah, but Sonata's character, Kinomaru. He's able to fight it off.
Yeah, that's true. But he hadn't. He had his unfinished business, and he finished it though.
Yeah. Whereas I guess his unfinished business is to fight Jubei.
Yeah, Musashi wants to fight. He just wants to fight the Yagyu clan, right?
Yeah.
Because he is the ultimate swordsman, and he wants a challenge. That's why he's living under a volcano, because he can't find the ultimate swordsman.
And as you know, eventually the Jedi will show up at the lava world.
Yeah, that's right. Just beware of that lower ground. You're fucked if you have the lower ground.
So the bad guy goes around collecting all these people, and every time he collects them, you get like a 5 to 10 minute backstory about the person. So... there's like a fair few of them. There's like, as I said, there's like 5 of them. So it takes about 25 minutes for this movie to get really going. So after that, though, you're introduced
surprised
to...
he doesn't pull out the Pokeballs.
Yeah, that's right. I choose you.
So he collects them all. And then we're introduced to Jubei pretty briefly when he goes to see Musashi to learn from him. He's not even going to fight him. He's going, I've come to learn from the great Musashi. And he enters and there's a ghost, like ghost armor.
I love that whenever Jubei, and it's Sonny Chiba himself, but he is so, like his hair trigger movements are so jerky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes in there and as soon as he senses danger, he's like just wide. He's popped. He's like a weasel. He's just like, ah, what's that? His nose is twitching. He's like Ricky Tikki Tavi. His eyes are twitching. He's just looking around. He's just so good to watch. It's so dynamic on screen. You just don't know what he's going to do.
And in this movie, he's only acting with one eye.
Yeah. And he
the
does...
other one's got a patch, I guess, over
it. It's a hilt, sword hilt?
Yeah, sword hilt, I think.
Over his eye. And that's the
not
thing.
Not a hilt, a guard.
Sorry. But that's the thing. It's like, even with the one eye, I noticed like small movements in his eye where he's surprised or he's like, oh, oh. He just emotes so much with his eye. I do love it.
So, the bad guy collects all these dudes and starts to work his evil goal of destroying the Tokugawa and essentially leaving the country in ashes.
It's humanity, right? Like, that's his goal.
Kill just humanity. He's done with humanity.
Destroy humanity. And I don't know where he got his powers from.
He got them from the devil.
The devil?
Well, God.
Yeah.
He renounces God and says, ah, I'm not going to see you. He thinks all of his family's still in heaven, but he's like, I'm going to have to renounce you, God. I need to get some devil powers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I need help. Which I don't understand why he needs help, because he seems pretty powerful by himself.
I assume that the devil is giving him the power to resurrect all these people. I assume without that, it doesn't work.
That's a weird thing we should probably mention, is that the Blu-ray was just skipping a little bit, and that could have been...
And then it's skipping at the same spot it was skipping before.
Yeah. I reckon it's just a poor print.
Aberration in the print.
Yeah.
Potentially. See, this is the thing, right? Because these movies are so rare. Do I want to use the word rare?
They're not rare. They kind of come and go.
Yeah. So availability is limited, especially, you know, the quality that you're getting. So when you do get it, they're usually from like a foreign region or something, right?
Yeah. So when I bought this pack, it was expensive ish for here, and I had to. It's only available in region one. This is one of those ones that's not on Eureka or Arrow or any of the other places. I haven't been able to find it, so it's a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah.
Seems to be working now though.
But part of the, I guess part of the excitement is being able to find films like this and actually getting a copy of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because if they were just available everywhere, you'd be like, eh, whatever.
It wouldn't be such a big deal.
Yeah, that's right. But sorry, going back to the story at hand. So, Jubei has been introduced, and he's from the Iga. It's a hidden village, though.
No, Jubei isn't from the Iga village.
He's not from the Iga village?
No, he's a Yagyu.
Oh, so what? He's just seeing his buddy.
Yeah, he's just hanging out with his bow.
The Iga work for the Shogun as well.
Oh, okay. So the hidden Iga clan.
The Shogun has two ninja clans, the Iga and the...
And they don't like each other.
And they don't like each other. They're like rivals working for the same boss kind of thing.
That's always amazed me about the Japanese politics, right? It's like the Shogun sets one over the other and then just kind of goes, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's the way to have them play against each other, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet the Iga could do that.
But you suck so bad, Koga.
Yeah, exactly.
What a bunch of dicks.
Anyway.
The Shogun's a dick.
So there's a spear fighter we can get introduced to. He's a...
Inshin, the monk.
Yeah, he's a bit of a lecherous. He wants to be a serial killer. He can't control his own desires.
He's living with his desires under control, right? And then when Kenji Sawada, we'll just call him Shiro, his character's name Shiro, he's the magician, and he comes and he basically says, hey, I know that you have these deep desires, right? Like, why don't you just let it go?
Let it go.
Let it go.
See, they break into sock now. They don't break.
Yes, Disney has a lawsuit on their hands. They stole the whole thing.
So, Shiro basically turns this guy, Inshin, a monk, into a zombie rapist.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what he does for the rest of this movie.
He's a very one-note character.
Yeah.
He's like Crab Man from, what is it?
Battle Wizard?
Yeah. He's a very one-note character. That's all he wants to do, really. Yeah. But, I mean, they set him up, though, really. Because he is keeping a lid on his internal desires, right? But then it was the female character. What's her name? Gracia Hosokawa. So she's the wife of a deceased shogun, I guess. But she's reincarnated, and she... flirts with him. She basically...
She tells it how it is.
Converts him. Yeah, but she goes to him and she starts showing her titties at him. And she's like, you want this?
Ooh. I will say that little sort of half fight isn't bad, because there's a lot of jumping around.
Yeah, she does jump really... Well, I don't know if it's her, but she jumps
very far. Well, she's covered in a mask at that point, so it's probably not her.
Yeah. But it's still interesting. He's chasing her all over the place, trying to essentially quell his desire. But she's just, I guess... egging him on.
So then we're introduced to the Iga, who are then attacked by the Koga.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a battle sequence. Not that great, but it's all right.
Well, Hiroyuki Sanada is shown as this plucky, young, kind of bright-eyed hero. He's wearing not much. He's wearing a skirt, type thing.
He's wearing like a yakata with no pants.
Have you ever seen a movie where he hasn't had massive bangs going on?
No, I mean, he's probably very proud of his hair. The Duke Sonata has a bit of a flowing mane, which was the fashion at the time. He is pretty, he's pretty ripped, like as in defined, not very big.
No, he's very skinny.
But he's a ninja.
But that's okay. He's a ninja, not a bodybuilder.
He must only be like 19, 20.
Yeah, he's pretty young. Our best newcomer at the time. But yeah, there is a big battle. I mean, shit is on fire, son.
Man, whoever made this set, I think might be a, like, who made the sets for this film might be a pyromaniac.
There is so
just
much
like fire.
There's a lot of fire in this movie, and it looks great.
There is enough fire going on that it can't be fake, because they're fighting in amongst it. And you look, you might be right, there could be forced perspective, mm-hmm. but the fire is huge. It's like,
that six, village is on fire.
6 to 12 feet up, columns of flame. It's, yeah, it's incredible. And there's a big kind of, I guess, it's an army, right? There's enough ninja mm-hmm. going after the Iga that it feels like an army. And they just kill. Oh, shit. That was, so the ninja that we're attacking.
I feel like at this point that we're not actually doing a podcast. We're just doing a blow-by-blow of what we're watching.
No, we're doing both. Well, after the Iga get attacked, there's a scene where Sonata is running away and there are ninja stars that get thrown onto a log next to his face. And they must be real, right? They must have thrown those ninja stars.
Yeah, probably.
So this movie had no regard for people's safety.
Oh, no.
Well.
I know, the spearman is raping that lady.
Yeah, there's a pretty graphic rape scene where Spear Dude is... Well, you know what? I can't feel too bad because the Koga Ninja have essentially decimated the Iga clan. And
this woman just kind of did just kill the, our hero-ish kind. Oh!
Yeah. No, well, she's a Koga ninja. And man, I tell you what, if Ninja Scroll didn't watch this film and just rip scenes out like piecemeal.
I'm pretty sure they did.
They totally did. Even the costumes, right?
Yeah.
There's a scene where Inshin is essentially raping the woman, which is almost a shot-for-shot recreation.
Of the guy that's made of stone?
That's right, of Ninja Scroll. Oh, sorry, the other way around. Ninja Scroll did a shot-for-shot recreation, so... which, hey, it's evocative, right? Obviously, if you saw this as an impressionable young 13-year-old, you'd be like, fuck, man, I can't get this out of my head. This movie is so fucked up. And now we're watching it as middle-aged men, and we're like, fuck, man, this movie is so fucked up.
So, the Koga Ninja stumble upon the band of evil motherfuckers, and the evil motherfuckers kill them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Sinister Six, or whoever it is, that the evil Avengers, I guess, that were put together by Shiro. I mean, man, they've got Musashi, the greatest swordsman who ever lived.
Yeah.
They've got like this incredible magician. What chance do they have, really, anyone have against these guys? But they don't.
None.
See, the thing I don't understand is you've got Musashi, you've got this cool monk who has a pole and shit, and you've got this ninja woman whose husband used to be the shogun. What do they want with Sonata? He's just like
he's
a
just there, man. They weren't. I don't think they were going to collect him. I didn't know that he was going to die. I think this is just luck. I think he doesn't have a limit to his power. I think if you've got a grudge, he can bring you back.
Okay, if you have unfinished business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, I never did get to eat the rest of that 12-inch sub.
You just got to tell yourself what you regret.
I regret not eating it.
Oh. So.
Well, Sonata dies by the hands of the ninja woman who got raped, and Shiro brings him back.
Yep.
Because what's his unfinished business? Sonata's unfinished business is?
Killing the Kogas.
Killing the Kogas.
Because some of them did live.
That's a funny thing, isn't it? Because like, they've literally just slaughtered all the ones that technically attacked his village.
No, one of them got away.
Yeah.
The guy with the birthmark on his face.
Birthmark
guy got away. Because that's the guy he kills in the Shogun's palace.
That was very cool in the Shogun's palace. Because the guy with the birthmark is talking to his, what, his domo, his boss.
One thing we will say, the one thing that marks you as a devil returned is eyeshadow. Lots of eyeshadow.
Lots of eyeshadow, yes.
Well, I imagine that your skin is decaying, right? So the blood is kind of rushing away from your face.
Musashi doesn't have eyeshadow. He's just got like he's been burned on his eyes. He's got like it's big true. Welts around his eyes.
Yeah, he had that before he died, though. Yeah, might be syphilis.
Oh.
I don't know. Well, I mean, what's Sonny Chiba's excuse then? His eyes are kind of dark as well.
So
lack of sleep.
Lack of sleep, probably. So what happens there next is Jubei goes to the village. He finds him. He finds that the villagers are all dead. He runs into, I believe he...
He runs into all of them.
He runs into them and then jumps up above them. And then
flies into the tree.
And then sends notice to his family that that's what's going on. You find out that the dad, his Jubei's dad, Mr. Yagyu.
Yep.
Yes, Mr. Yagyu.
Mr. Yagyu.
Yagyu Sr.
Lone Wolf and Cub, man.
Yep.
Yes. Jubei Sr.
He knows that something fucked up is going on. About a month's passed because the ghost lady has become the concubine or the main mistress of the shogun through magic powers, mm-hmm. and he's been like holed up fucking for like a month.
Yeah, he's been held hostage. I think that was the plan, though, right?
Yeah, man.
And Jubei's dad knew something was going on,
so he's like, "I'm gonna go kill her."
He ordered an awesome new sword
mm-hmm.
from
Muramasa.
Muramasa blade. He's also like a famous making like cursed weapons.
Yeah, the Muramasa blade is famous for being able to kill like devils and shit, right?
Well, I think Muramasa's swords are famous.
Like, they're like can cut through anything kind of jargon.
I'm also, this is because of video games, but I'm pretty sure generally they are cursed weapons. Like, I feel like you get one in like...
Ninja Gaiden?
No, like in like... Fantasy Star or like Final Fantasy, like I usually get, if there's going to be like an evil weapon that's like real hard to find, it's going to be like a Muramasa blade.
No, it is. There is a Muramasa blade in Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2 and all the rest. So Jubei's dad is played by Tomisaburo Wakayama, who is the Lone Wolf and Cub actor.
Yeah.
But yes, Mr. Yagyu, because holy shit. It's his actual name is Yagyu Tajimanokami Munanor. I just butchered that. So Mr. Yagyu.
Mr. Yagyu.
Yeah, Jubei's dad. He's got it going on.
Yagyu-san to you.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Interesting if he was from the clan, you know.
So I think in the Lone Wolf and Cub movies, he's fighting the Yagyu.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Yagyu are like the bad guys of those movies.
Yeah, right.
I believe. I could be wrong, but I'm almost certain that's true. Anyway, so the shogun's being trapped by that crazy pussy. Again. Yeah,
the crazy pussy.
and the world's going to hell. The peasants are starting to starve. The guy curses the land. Like, the bad guy curses the land. The peasants are starting to starve and get revolting.
We should say Jubei's dad, Lord Yagyu, is actually dying from a terminal illness.
Yeah, so he's cool to sort of take one for the team and kill this woman.
Yep.
But he gets caught by the bad guys first.
On his way to kill the woman with the shogun, he is attacked by crazy spear rapists.
Yeah, right. He kills that guy straight away.
Yeah, it doesn't take him long.
He kills him. But in the move that where he basically cuts his head in twain, he rips his internal organs and spits out some blood.
Because he wasn't well to start with.
No, he was very sick. He was like, this is the last thing I'm going to do. I'm going to kill this lady, go out, take one for the team. Commit seppuku. Because I'm dying anyway. What's the difference?
Well, it's rough though, because then Musashi shows up and Yagyu-san, Mr. Yagyu, he's like, it's a shame. I really wanted to fight you when I was better. And Musashi is still kind of like, that sucks. Now I'm going to have to kill you, kid. I'm going to have to fight somebody else.
But that's what brings him around. Yagyu wants to fight Jubei. Yagyu Sr. wants to fight Yagyu.
Wants to fight his own son.
And you get a pretty fucked up flashback where you find out the reason that Jubei has a missing an eye is because his dad threw a fucking knife at him.
That's fucking stupid.
He was trying to train the son by throwing daggers at him and one hit home in the eye.
As a kid, how old is he? Like 12?
I did like the fact that the kid just shook it off and still went out.
Like, I'm going to go, you son.
Screw you, dad.
Yeah. What I find funny is that you both have children and neither of you are training your children appropriately.
Yeah, we're not throwing fucking knives at our kids. At
shit,
yeah.
That's right. How else do you think they're going to learn?
Yeah, we got to be harder on our kids, man.
Well, jeez.
That's crazy.
See, there's the guy.
We forgot about making them carry water buckets and shit when they could walk.
Yeah, that's right. And getting them drunk so they can learn drunken fist.
Yep.
Yes.
With sticks.
Does every dad wants to have that Rock Lee, Guy Lee relationship?
So So they find someone finds out that the woman's crazy, goes back, and that's when shit really starts to hit the fan.
Yeah, because then, we forgot to say Jubei has like two brothers, and one of the brothers is killed by
Musashi.
Musashi, and then Jubei finally arrives at the palace to find out, oh, your brother's dead. And so he goes and checks him and realizes that he was killed by someone who's crushed his head with...
he wasn't killed by a sword.
Wasn't killed by a sword. And at that point, he goes to see his dad and realizes...
And as soon as he sees his dad, he's like, you're a fucking ghost.
A fucking ghost. I can see it in your face.
Because his dad's fucking crazy.
The ghosts do have that kind of gray, ashen...
They're pallid.
And usually they have that weird golden contacts in their eyes.
Yeah, when they go super crazy, evil.
When they go super powers.
It even like lights up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's really well done. Like it doesn't look digital. It looks like it's a real...
Well, it can't be digital. It's before digital.
Yeah. I don't know. They had like some digital shit going on. Like they obviously had mats or whatever.
They had whatchamacallit.
Green screen.
Yeah, they had some green screen, but that's not digital. Like, that's just an effect. The only real digital we had is, like, I Want My MTV by, like, Dire Straits. You know?
They had some, like, foreground fire effects.
Tron.
Yeah.
Tron.
it's very well done. And the art direction, again, it just kind of...
Yeah, it keeps distracting us with how good it looks.
Yeah.
Because when we do these movies, we generally have it playing in the background. And... Dry ice is doing a lot of work.
Oh, it just makes it so atmospheric, and then you just shine some light through that, and it just makes it spooky as hell, right?
Yeah, I think we should invest in dry ice. Maybe we should do a podcast.
Invest in it.
Just have dry ice around us when we do the podcast.
That'd be cool. You know, it'd be awesome.
What? Just for Halloween?
Yeah, light up that dry ice, and we should all get like a Halloween photo of all this.
So
Spooktober.
So there's a fight between the head of the Koga Ninja, who finds out that, like, the lady's definitely a crazy supernatural bitch.
Yep.
Because he's going to go kill her, right?
And I hate to say I don't like this fight sequence between Kimimaru and...
Kirimaru.
Sanada. Yeah.
And Sanada. Sanada's character and the Koga Ninja. Because it's too dark, and I think they're actually doing some interesting stuff with the legwork, because they're, like, sort of jumping...
Through
the rafters.
He's crouched down, essentially doing hurdles across the rafters. He's running crouched, doing hurdles, which is incredible. Incredible core strength. But the best part, I think, of this fight for me was in the middle of a conversation, the Koga Ninja goes, intruder, and just jumps to the ceiling.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
There was like totally no reason for him to do it. Yeah.
He knew he was up there.
Yeah.
He just knew, man. That's how ninja's sixth sense.
So obviously the plan to there's a bunch of B-tier kind of people who had a plan to stop things going bad. Koga Ninja guy, got to kill that lady, and Jubei's dad,
yep,
got to kill that lady. They know something wrong's going, but they are foiled instantly. So now it's on Jubei, who is like showing up to places like three steps too late.
Yeah. Well, once he notes his dad is dead. He then heads over to Muramasha to get his own blade because he realizes, I need a sword that can kill devils as well.
Do you know, I really just stopped there for a second and had a thought. Do we want Jubei to win? I mean, is the Tokugawa government actually worth keeping in power?
I'm going to say this as a person who doesn't particularly like tyranny. The Tokugawa is probably better than pestilence and death and the world burnt to the ground.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that, you know.
Is that the commentary?
Yeah, that's my commentary there. I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm not cool with evil gods making the world pestilent. Like, that's kind of my line. He's not really offering anything positive, only destruction. Okay. Also, he sort of created it himself, right? By creating the pestilence and making all the people go crazy.
This is true.
Right. Okay. All right.
But so no, I guess... no, in general, I am not cool with the idea of tyranny.
No. No. Well, it's just, you know, it's Jubei's cause. Is it really that righteous?
No. He just wants to fight things.
Jubei? Yeah, I guess. He doesn't really have a motivation except maybe vengeance. Revengeance.
Well, he sort of, in the beginning of the movie, he has no real reason to get involved.
No, he's just looking for a teacher.
Yeah, he went to Musashi, and then was like, oh no, ghosts. And then he does get, it gets personal when his dad gets involved.
Yeah. But that's about it.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no. I mean, he went to see his mate,
yeah.
The Eager Ninja Clan.
It's almost like a karmic thing. Like,
yeah.
It's drawn him in. Nothing's been about fucking with him, but every single thing that Shiro's done has fucked with him.
Yeah. He has no choice but to get involved.
Yeah.
He
keeps getting drawn in.
Yeah.
You keep pulling me in.
Yeah. He didn't start it, but he's going to finish it. Yeah.
Damn right he's going to finish it.
I do like the bad guy. The bad guy's not a very good fighter, like the actual like Shiro character.
Yeah.
But he's a magician. He's a mage. And he's got like... His weapon of choice is all the hair from all the dead women, yeah. Christian women. And it's like got electricity running through it.
Shit through it.
That's so fucked up when you think about it.
Yeah. He's like... He chokes people out with the hair of dead Christian women.
Oh, it's so brutal. And he just looks so evil doing it too.
Yeah, and he's also kind of a little bit gay-coded, let's be honest.
Well, he makes out like full on the face with Hiroyuki Sanada, so.
Yeah.
That was a weird scene.
He's telling Sanada to go rape that girl in that scene.
I suppose he's converting him, right? He's saying, because Sanada isn't fully converted to
he's
a
not
full
evil.
Devil.
Sanada's not evil. He just wanted vengeance.
No. So I guess he wants to manipulate him to become full evil.
Yeah. You want your devils to be evil. You don't want them. You don't want half-ass devils.
Yeah.
This is true.
You want a full-ass devil.
And I think Musashi kind of went into the devil realm. Like, he is filled with just violence.
Well, he succumbed, right? He became so fixated on fighting Jubei. Well, except that he was kind of dissuaded with the flute.
Flute of his...
Yeah.
I did like that scene. Mother. There's a scene where Musashi is coming towards Muramasa's little hut, and the niece of the woman that was super into Musashi is blowing a flute, and that makes him go away. But that whole sequence doesn't feel physical because of like there's a lot of vibrations and stuff. It actually feels like kind of ghost story esque.
Yeah, that's the most ghost story part in the whole thing.
Yeah,
apart from the floating heads.
There's a lot of fog.
Yeah, those things are supernatural. I think that's ghost story-y.
Yeah.
There is a kind of a difference, I feel like.
That setting was amazing as well. That was like a waterfall. A hut in front of a waterfall.
I'd live there.
Oh, it's incredible. It looked like it had been there for 1,000 years, covered with wood and moss.
Probably to live alone and make swords for a living. Why not?
Oh, it's definitely a set because they cut the shit out of that place afterwards, right? And then it was on fire.
Yeah.
Everything in this film catches on fire.
Hey. Well, they build everything out of paper and wood. What do you want?
One spark and it's all gone. It's all gone.
Not really good fire code. Not for sure.
That fight at Muramasa's place was enough to convince Muramasa, yeah, I'll make you a sword.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, demons are real. I better get on this. And he dies making his final sword that will kill all the evil monsters.
He poured his heart and soul into this last sword.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, like, you would have thought the sword would do a lot more than it did. But it ends up getting cut in half in, like, the final fight scene.
By another sword that he made, though.
Yeah, no, but this is supposed to be his super sword.
Mm.
Does that mean that it wasn't that good compared to his first sword?
Yes. Not the first sword. That was the second last sword he made.
Yeah.
And I assume, yeah, probably, because guess what? Last couple of hammer strikes made him die.
He was
so
on
maybe
death.
He needed to do more, like 4 or 5 more.
He didn't have enough strength to finish it properly.
They just made it seem like it was the best sword ever, and then...
It looked pretty good.
It didn't do nothing.
So, there are a lot of stupid scenes in here that don't really matter. There's a scene where he shoots, like the shogun shoots, is mind-controlled into shooting a bunch of peasants that are actually deer. Deer that are actually peasants.
Yeah.
There's some...
Are they trying to gloss over the real atrocities of the Tokugawa government by saying that it was controlled by evil spirits?
I don't think so.
No.
Well, in real life, who knows? But in the movie,
yeah,
they were evil spirits.
Yes,
and they
were
making him do bad things so the people would turn against him.
Yeah.
And then Jubei is helping in that. He seems to go around cleaning up after these ghosts because he suddenly appears at this peasant village and starts cremating the dead bodies of the victims and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real reason for him to be there.
Nope.
And then he gets... Musashi actually turns up and he challenges him to meet him on an island to have a duel.
I do love that Musashi is like, you're going to show? And Jubei's like, yes, I will.
God damn, I'm gonna show.
Hell yeah.
There is that funny sequence though. It's only like 2 seconds long where we're introduced to two other monks, one with the craziest lazy eye I've ever seen, who just goes, "Oh no, the peasants are revolting. This isn't normal. This is a spiritual revolt."
You can tell because the peasants are fucking weird looking and carrying heads on pikes.
Oh, man. But yeah, that one guy, he's like, he's just, I don't know where he's looking. I don't know what is going on.
Yeah, the missing tooth as well.
Yeah, man, that was great. Just, I wonder if those guys were like, they're character actors. They're just like, we got to put them in this movie.
They do that, though. They hire those weird people with like weird eyes just to be the weird background character guy with the eye pointing the wrong way just for the scene.
Just to make everybody else look better,
I guess.
That's
why he's in like 50 movies because there's only him that does it.
It's like all those Jackie Chan films with that guy with the terrible lazy eye that just points. Yeah.
And so we come to the first one-on-one fight sequence, which is Musashi.
Is that the first one?
It's not the first one, but it's like there's been a couple battle sequences.
It's a set piece, yeah.
But it is like a. Yeah, and it's good. It's pretty good. It's shot well. It's beautiful.
On the ocean, like the shore.
On the beach.
Yeah.
With like a cliff right there and a goddamn waterfall.
Well, that's how they open the shot. It's a super wide shot and it's just nothing but cliff and shore. And right there, the little dot is like Musashi walking on the beach.
And throughout the fight sequence, we've got the cameraman panning as they sort of run sideways across the beach, which is actually quite...
I don't know how you did that without a Steadicam. Like, did they put down tracks? Like back in the day, they used to do that sometimes. They would put down tracks and like railroad tracks.
Rough tracks, yeah.
And then just...
But they were tracking it pretty well, and it made them look like they were running really fast.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of shots where what's his name? Musashi. Jubei. And they're fighting, and they're going in and out of shadow, and the exposure still keeps up.
Yep.
Which normally I'm just like, what the fuck?
There's some jumps and some...
Like usually you get like go from dark to light and you just blow out, or you go and you can't see anything. But they just did an amazing job. So, like, hail to the cameraman, whoever did it, and set that
up.
The
art direction, the camera work, it's all fantastic. There are so many shots in this movie that, like, you make it a still and it's almost painterly.
Yeah. The incredible use of dark and light. It's just all over the place, even in the dark scenes and in the light scenes as well. But this actual fight scene, as a fight scene itself, yeah, there's a couple of cool moments where Jubei kind of jumps backwards up a rock or something like that.
Yeah.
But the choreography is not that intricate.
There's that good jump where he like, because Musashi's been using a stick this whole time to fight. And there's a bit where Jubei jumps and instead of like blocking, he slices down the head of the stick.
In half, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how he kills him off. That's how he finishes him off. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's Musashi's own fault, right? Like, why use a bok into a knife fight? Like, fucking, you think you're so good that you're going to fight using this? Like, come on. That's arrogance.
Yeah, that's right. And arrogance got him done in. So he kills them, and then we get like a bit of oh no, the peasants are revolting kind of thing. Ito's on fire.
The peasants have like set Ito on fire. Is that what happened?
I don't know. All that lady set the castle on fire.
Well, that they're talking, like the lords are talking about how the peasants are revolting in the city and setting it on fire and stuff. And then we go to the crazy lady with the shogun and she basically sets the shogun's room on fire. And as
that was an accident, right? They dropped like a lantern.
Kind of an accident.
And then
she was going crazy. She was manic.
Fanned the flames and shit all over. Then the whole castle starts taking up. And it's at this point that Jubei's dad, Mr. Yagu, or Lord Yagu, decides he's going to just start taking people out left, right, and center.
Man, when he's fighting, it's good.
I do like that the rest of the dudes that he's killing are just like, oh my God, he's gone crazy. He's gone crazy, everybody. He's just killing people.
Yeah. Slash.
He does. He moves very, very fast for an old...
Smooth and but then like quick to stop.
Yeah.
Looks like there's a lot of power in stuff.
Yeah. Very well controlled.
Yeah, it's one of those just minimal movement kind of move or choreography as he's sort of going, taking out people with the most... simplest move or least amount just to take people out in single strokes.
It's like very stop-starty, but like well set up. So he kind of kills like five people in one go.
Yeah. And then Jubei shows up.
In the middle of a fucking firestorm.
And he's like, his dad's so happy. He's like, oh yeah, it's time to fight my son. Like, you're a horrible father.
He is.
Well, that was his last regret, right? Yeah. That was his unfinished business.
That
he
didn't get to fight his kid. What a dick.
Yeah.
I didn't get to beat the shit out of my kid.
We have no idea how exactly they filmed this, but it looks fantastic set. The entire castle's literally on fire, and they're standing in the middle of it.
It's not a green screen. It's not a green screen because
it could be forced perspective, but there's so many times where they move in between something that's on fire.
There's foreground, there's background and there's mid-ground elements between the two people moving sideways.
Yeah.
And the mid-ground element is like a post that is on fire, like super on fire.
Yeah. It's got to be hotter. Even if it is like foreground, like it's forced perspective, foreground and background are like really far away, it would be boiling.
Mm. How does Lone Wolf survive that? I mean, the dude's got to be in his 60s or 70s. And the thing was, I don't know, maybe that's why they moved to Florida, right? Like all people.
Yeah.
They like to be hot. So
it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. Yeah, it's good for my knees. But
so
the place is just, the sets.
It's amazing.
I don't know how they're doing it.
Like, I don't think the fighting is that great in this movie. I don't think that the story is particularly fantastic. I don't feel that anyone gives an amazing performance. I think the performances are pretty good. But the set design and the spectacle, the spectacle is kind of worth the ticket price.
I got to say that what Japanese martial arts and samurai films do really well, and the reason why I consider them action, is because even though the actual action of me chopping someone is very short, the build up to it, the talking, the setting it up to going, you know, oh, you brought this upon yourself, all of that, which is why you have episodes of Dragon Ball, which is just talking. The setup of it leading up to the action is just fantastic.
I've always looked at it, again, I think I've said it millions of times, I always look at it a bit like a gunslinger.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 100%.
Gunslinging is action, but it's all in the setup, and then it's instant like, oh no, I've shot three people, like
yeah.
I've drawn and I've shot three people. That's the thing it's going for.
It's 100%. That's absolutely true.
But even still, I don't think this one is particular. Like, it's not Shogun's Shadow. It's not one of the classics for the violence itself. But it just looks so fucking good.
They don't hold back, though. I mean, the violence doesn't hold back.
No.
I don't think anybody gets dismembered, but there's blood and there's all sorts of shit.
There's people that get cuts across the face and the head, and a lot of like straight down, like vertical.
Yeah, like not decapitated, but. Like
split.
Split in twine.
Yeah, like a watermelon. And then it has probably, I mean, at the end of it, you get the final showdown between Jubei. Well, Jubei kills his dad.
Yeah, that's actually, I think that fight is actually the best fight.
Unfortunately, Jubei's sword gets broken by his dad's sword.
And he uses his dad's sword after that.
His
dad swings his sword down at him and he catches the sword in his hands and pulls his dad off his feet and twists and shoves it into him.
Yeah, into his throat. Because his dad's got a Muramasa blade as well.
Yeah.
So he's able to kill devils. And then the fucking building collapses on his dad. And
just to add a final step.
At least he's going
to
get cremated.
Cremation.
That's what he would have wanted.
That's what he would have wanted. And then Shiro shows up and he's like, I'm going to fucking kill this guy. I've wanted to kill you for a while now. So they do a standoff and there's a bit of a fight. He throws his like hair at him. And there's a bit of a back and forth. Then he goes to kill him, and his head comes off because guess what? He's already decapitated.
That's right. And Jubei is like, what?
And that's how the fucking movie ends.
Well, Shiro laughs, and he goes, as long as there's people on this planet, I'll always be around. Freeze frame.
Oh, well, the flames sort of envelop him, and then
he fades away.
Freeze frame on Jubei, surrounded by flames.
Yeah. Look, disappointing ending. I think we joked just like Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
It doesn't really end, but then it seems very similar to another movie with Sonny Chiba in it as well, where he's fighting evil and at the end the bad guy goes, as long as there is people or there's evil, I'll still be around.
Yeah.
How disappointing is that? I suppose that's a zombie film, right? Like it's a downer.
Provoking.
It's not provoking me. It's making me upset that there's not another one. We know the real reason. The real reason is what you said, Michael. It's a manga.
Yeah. Exactly.
So there's going to be more story.
Yes, this is true. He actually did a TV show of the same character, Sonny Chiba did, like a year or so later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does it continue this story?
I'm not sure. It really doesn't.
Because I might get that series if I can find it. I'm sure it exists.
26 episodes, so who knows?
Do you know what the problem is, though?
There's a Lone Wolf and Cub TV show as well.
The problem is that this film is around Jubei's character, and you kind of care about some of the characters because they're related to Jubei, like his dad and all this shit, his brothers, and his friend, Sanada. But then if you do a sequel or other episodes, he has to develop new relationships to sever.
Because all these people are dead now.
That's right, because these people are dead.
That's true.
You know, it's not... I guess it could be like Reacher or something. He goes to a new town all the time. Or Zatoichi. He's always, you know, finding a new place to hang out.
I need to gamble at this place now.
Yeah. But Jubei is much less interesting than Zatoichi because, I mean, what does Jubei like to do for with his spare time?
I assume go, oh!
Fight people and jewels.
Look at magic eye pictures.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this I'm looking at?
So, that's Samurai Reincarnation.
Samurai Reincarnation. Look, I mean, I actually enjoyed watching it. I thought it was very pretty, very beautiful to watch.
I was iffy on this one. Like, that's why I gave you so many. Because none of the movies I've got that I'm like want to watch that I haven't already watched. Because I haven't seen this since the Blu-ray. I watched the DVD, but I've only watched like half of it because it's unwatchable almost. But, like, that's why I got the trailers ready. I was like, I wasn't willing to go, I think we should watch this one because I think this one will be the best. I kind of wanted to take the temperature of the room.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were all going to be about this good.
It's pretty good. I really enjoyed it, Mikey.
Yeah, I mean, it was worth a watch. It's one of those ones where I'm kind of like half and half on if I would watch it again.
Straight in the middle for me as well. It's straight in the middle for me.
Yeah. Thumbs up, thumbs down?
I'm going to go in the middle.
In the middle as well.
In the middle? I was going to go a thumbs up with this.
I think actually maybe the art direction pushes me slightly up.
Yeah.
But there was a bunch of times where I was just like, the acting's not good enough to make me really care about these characters, and it's going a bit long.
Yeah, it was really pretty, and
I think we're gonna go thumbs up for the pretty.
I'll slant towards up, and you know, literally, if you did find that TV series, I would probably watch it.
Yeah,
at least once.
Yeah,
I mean, shit. If I were to start watching this, I would probably finish it. Like if I was by myself.
Yeah. I think each scene is good enough that it's visually arresting and interesting enough that your eye's going to be caught by it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to watch a little bit more and watch a little bit more. But apart from the art direction, I don't think anything's that amazing.
No.
But I do think everybody should watch that fight at the end.
Yep. Oh, it's incredible. And I mean, we'll skip to the fireworks factory, but shit, I mean, that was a shit stunt.
Yeah.
That was standing in front of all that fire. It's got to be real, right?
Yeah. There's a couple of just basic little bits and pieces that look like they might have hurt. Like there's the in the fight in the that Sonata's in, where he sort of rolls, he jumps and rolls while he's trying to get away from that woman. It looks a bit
the
lands
forest
a bit.
Off the tree.
Stuff. Yeah. It looks like he lands a bit like it's it's a good 6 feet.
Yeah,
two and a half meters.
Uneven ground.
And he's holding it looks like an actual knife.
Yeah.
And he lands funny.
Yeah, I mean all those little fight scenes where they're. Because, I mean, it's not like they're fighting in a flat ground or anything. They're running around all this different terrain, right? Like waterfalls and all this shit. Like, they've got to be taking some knocks. When Sonny Chiba jumps backwards up some rocks, that looks simple, but, I mean, you land your foot the wrong way.
Some of the times they're going to be reversed. But
reverse film.
Yeah.
But some of them, you're not. Some of them also aren't reversed.
Yeah. Because
they're not that big of a jump.
Mm.
And it would have been too hard to do the choreography in reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything you noticed, Mikey, that was like, that shit?
Not shit. I did enjoy the dad, Lord Yagu's sword fighting in the close quarters of the castle.
That was
probably my favorite choreography.
Oh, actually,
I think the fight in the thing is probably the scariest fight because of all the fire. Like, I don't care if there's a lot of space. It's got to be hot in there, man. It's got to be crazy hot. And these people are wearing a lot of 1980s hair product.
And
wigs.
That shit will go up.
Polyester. Yeah, polyester. Actually, you know what would be rough is all the camera crew and shit who are rolling and they have to direct all the action while all of this shit's on fire.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
It seemed really dangerous.
Yeah, that would be shit. Is there anything that you do at home that you see and you go,
I would try and figure out what my greatest regret is and then wish upon that at death to become immortal.
Wish upon
that.
We also did miss,
and I think we'd be remiss not to at least mention it. There's a scene where Hiroyuki Sonata goes through am I going to rape this woman? Am I not going to rape this woman situation? I think that should be at least pointed out for our viewers. If that is a trigger for you, maybe don't, because there's a lot of like, one of the characters is essentially a rapist.
He's a zombie rapist.
And he doesn't rape zombies. He's a zombie who rapes.
nice distinction.
And the other, and then there is a bit where Sonata, the bad guy, the real Shiro tells Sonata's character, look, give in to your dark desires. Go, you know, take what you want. Go and rape her. Essentially, go and rape her. And he can't go through with it, which, you know, Sonata's a good dude.
He's a hero.
Yeah. So.
And to what one also thing is the girl that he's trying to is pretty young. Almost kid-like, even.
Well, they're both very young.
They're both orphans.
I think he's probably in his late teens in this movie, maybe very, very early 20s. And I'd say she's also in her late teens, mid to late teens.
Probably mid to late teens, yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't actually... She is one of the women you do not see the boobs of, though.
No, that's right. True. Yeah, this film is exploitation.
There is a lot of boobs.
Yeah.
Not a massive amount, actually, but, you know, they're on screen a little bit.
Actually, you know, that would be a shit stunt, is those women who were getting raped in the forest... exposed and then dropped onto the ground.
Where they have to act like they're dead with their boobs out and just being cold.
Yeah, in the forest?
Yeah, with lots of leaves. Not cool. Bugs.
Gross.
Gross.
Something that I would like to do at home is die dramatically from being stabbed. You know, like the samurais, they leave the sword in you and then they pull it out and then the guy just blood spurting and going, gah!
This movie could have done with a little bit more blood spurting.
Yeah, true, actually. There wasn't that much blood.
There was
in
a couple of bits where someone gets a bit of a splat, but there's no gushes like there is in, like, Lone Wolf and Cub.
No. Well, they spent it on the rest of the art direction,
I guess. Right, they did.
Yeah. Mikey, is there anything that you saw in the film that you'd like to do at home on your children?
Throw knives at them.
Yeah. Cop that.
Train boy.
Yeah.
No.
Do you mean you got hit in the eye? That's your fault.
Now be a better swordsman.
You need to dodge better. Yeah.
No. Oh, excellent. Nice. But yes, so there you go. Samurai Resurrection. Check it out if you can. Find a copy. Reincarnation.
Because I know this. I don't know if this is true, but I think there might be another film called Samurai Resurrection.
There is a movie called Samurai Resurrection.
Because I think I own that movie too.
Yeah.
There is a anime called Ninja Resurrection, and it stars a character called Jubei who has an eye patch.
Isn't that the sequel to Ninja Scroll?
No, it's the unofficial sequel because
production company.
I think so. Okay, but different people made it.
Okay.
But it's same. Like, you take Sonny Chiba from this film, you put him in an anime, and that's Ninja Resurrection. Yep. It's the same film.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go.
Cool.
If anybody has seen the film and wants to kind of send us their thoughts, or hasn't seen the film and wants to send us their thoughts, AsianActionCast, Gmail, Twitter, Instagram. We're always monitoring. We love you listening to us, and we love doing these movies.
Bye.
Bye. So until next time, goodbye.
It's a dry heat.